to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. We have so much to cover today. We got a couple of really big guests. We'll have Patrick Byrne in studio with us next hour, and then we'll be joined by James Fishback, who is running for governor of Florida and giving Byron Donalds a run for his money. Byron Donalds, I'm going to get that right this time. Did a whole segment calling him Brian Daniels last week. And I swear this is a Mandela effect sort of thing. I would have sworn his name was Daniels. Byron Donalds is getting blown out of the water by James Fishback, despite having every positive attribute you could ask for in a Republican candidate. He's got support from all sides. He's got, you know, a long track record, nationally recognizable name. So why is he losing to James Fishback? We'll talk to him about that in the third hour. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 9th of December, 2025. Trump orders Zelensky to surrender. On Monday, President Donald Trump ordered Ukraine's dictator, Volodymyr Zelensky, to accept a peace proposal, which has been on the table for the last couple of weeks. The president also directed the dictator to hold elections, as Zelensky has been ruling unelected since 2024. Trump made these statements to Dasha Burns of Politico during an interview on Monday, the transcript of which was published this morning, and we'll go over some clips from that a little bit later. But yeah, they're really turning up the heat under Zelensky. Russia just captured another big Ukrainian city. They're still on the march and continuing to rack up wins. And Zelensky continues to cling on with his fingernails to power as all of his corrupt cronies flee the country with their ill-gotten gains. It's going exactly as we expected it would. Meanwhile, Crockett announces Senate bid with the bizarre campaign ad featuring Trump mocking her as low IQ. And I'll tell you, folks, it's not going well. It's not going well for Representative Jasmine Crockett in any way. She announces her bid with this ad that's just a picture of her and then the audio of Trump just calling her stupid a bunch. Okay, great. Well done. Then they have this event where she's giving speeches and they have a rapper come up and he's rapping at a podium. The whole thing is very off-putting. So we're looking very much forward to her run for Senate here in Texas. She's running to be a senator. We'll get back into that a little bit later. Meanwhile, follow up on a story we covered yesterday. Internet raises $100,000 for a Wisconsin woman fired by Cinnabon after N-word-laced outburst at a Somali couple. A former Cinnabon employee fired over a viral verbal altercation with a Somali couple was showered with support from internet users who donated over $100,000. Now, interestingly, a Cinnabon franchise costs about $120,000. So she could very well go on to own the Cinnabon after this, which, again, is exactly the right response. See, people film these. At first, they inspire the outburst by abusing service workers or stressed out mothers. Then they film them, get their reaction on film, and then they want to destroy their lives. And what's happening instead is that these people are becoming millionaires, or at least becoming extremely wealthy. It's backfiring completely, which is exactly what should happen. And absolutely nobody in America has the right to say anything about this when you have Carmelo Anthony, who received $500,000 when it was never even, you know, questioned whether or not. I mean, he stabbed Austin Metcalf in the chest and killed him, and they gave him $500,000. So while black people are doing that, everybody else can shut the hell up about the white woman who used the no-no word. Meanwhile, millions of children and teens lose access to accounts as Australia's world's first social media ban begins. You know, we'll get into Australia a little bit today, too. But yeah, millions of children have lost access to social media. Now, they claim, obviously, this is about, I don't know, something positive. But it has a lot more to do with the fact that young people are harder to program if you don't have a monopoly on the information they consume. That's what it's all about. Finally, New York judge unseals Ghislaine Maxwell grand jury docs to comply with Epstein Files Transparency Act. I'm sure we're learning a lot from this. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. I'll tell you about the sale on the other side. Stay with us.
My fellow InfoWarriors, you have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025 at midnight to get 40% off site-wide. That means all the incredible supplements, methylene red, back in stock, bovine colostrum, Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox. It's all in stock right now, and it funds the tip of the spear. These are incredible products. Do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Enrich your health, your vitality, your life. They make great gifts, and it gives the gift to all of us of keeping this operation on the air in the face of the globalists. And 40% off is a huge deal with the t-shirts, the ball caps, the hoodies, the sweaters, all the apparel, because there's only about 60% markup in the apparel. So that is one hell of a deal. Please do your Christmas shopping right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. Thank you for being the heart of this operation. Thank you for your support. You have till this Sunday, site-wide, 40% off.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. A lot of stuff we have to cover today about all sorts of crazy things. I mean, it really runs the gamut. And it was funny, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was talking to my wife, and we really did have this kind of conversation. I tweeted this out yesterday. It wasn't exactly like this, but, you know, we're sitting in the kitchen tonight, and she's talking about some drama with her friends. You know, oh, this person said this, and this person. I said, yeah, you know, my friends are kind of in drama, too. You know, my friends Ian and Nick are beefing over, you know, Israel's participation or not in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And it's like, it is very funny to me. Because I am friends, at least friendly, with both Ian Carroll and Nick Fuentes. But they're beefing right now over Charlie Kirk. And as I've explained many times, my wife doesn't pay attention to all of this nonsense. She has more important things to worry about. You know, children, stuff like that. Yeah, I said, you know, my wife is like, my friends Jennifer and Megan had a falling out over the bridesmaid dress. And I'm like, yeah, my friends Ian and Nick are beefing over the role of world jewelry and the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Just bring it down to that human level. And that really is how it feels. It's always this way with friends, isn't it? I don't know if anybody else is like this. I always got two friends that are at each other's throats, and I'm the one that sees it from both of their perspectives. I'm like, you guys basically agree. What are we fighting for? What are we fighting about here? But as I'm explaining this to my wife, it's like, I can't just start to explain it. It's like, I got to go way back to the beginning. Because if you don't follow the drama, if you don't follow this stuff on a regular basis, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I was thinking, and maybe I should just do this for the show. Maybe that's what America needs. Maybe that can be the role I serve. Because when you really, and everybody gets all out of whack about this because people are motivated by one thing and then other people read into their motivation something else and start spreading that narrative and it all becomes confused. When you actually are watching it from a bird's eye view perspective, it's not actually all that complicated. And I sort of see it from both these guys' sides, but it's an interest. It's not helpful. It's not helpful to be beefing like this for all of us constantly to be at each other's throats. Is just again not beneficial to the movement overall. Which, as you know, varied as they are, I would say Ian and Nick are both on the same side here, along with myself, Alex Jones, and everybody at InfoWars. We're all just trying to rescue humanity from the enslavement of the New World Order. So, I don't know. I'm not going to waste time doing it right now, but the division, it's kind of confusing. I don't think the division is necessarily being created by outside forces, but it's obviously being fostered and sort of perpetuated and encouraged by outside forces. And again, we just have to recognize that division is clearly the play they're running right now. Not trying to bring people over to their side, but rather just disrupt the forces of their enemy, the good guys, us. So we're not going to play into any of that. And we're going to recognize that we need everybody at the top of their game and working together in a coordinated way. But the reason why I think it's interesting, you know, what's happening with Ian and Nick is that, you know, Ian's kind of new to the game, and Nick has been in the mix for a decade and more at this point. I guess a decade, 2015, around that time. And as we've been, you know, watching the rise of Nick Fuentes, it's been very impressive. And I think that Ian Carroll is right when he says that what's happening with the Charlie Kirk assassination and the investigation into that would be of interest to Nick Fuentes. So basically what happened is Ian made a video basically questioning Nick Fuentes and saying, why aren't you coming along with us as we investigate and uncover all this shady activity around TPUSA and Israel in particular? And Nick's response to that basically was like, there's no proof. Basically, his overriding concern is that we have gained credibility. We, this movement, whatever this is, have gained credibility by exposing factually truthful and really sort of undeniable things. And that you risk that credibility by talking about stuff that doesn't have hardcore proof evidence. If it's just speculation, it's not only not valuable, it's sort of damaging to that whole movement. Whereas what Ian is saying is, Nick, you should be in on this, because Nick's whole thing is it's not just about Israel, the foreign state, because it's easy to say, oh, if you're just criticizing a foreign state as a foreign state, then that's fine. But saying it also has to do with the Jewish diaspora here, World Jewry, as he puts it, the World Jewish Congress, all this stuff, saying it's not just about the nation state of Israel. That's sort of a containment mechanism. Okay, you can talk about that. It's the Overton window, right? Okay, you can talk about this, but only if it's in the terms of Israel as a foreign state. Or you can talk about this, but only in terms of, you know, whatever, religious differences rather than ethnic and cultural. And so what they're discovering as they look into TPUSA appears to be not strictly, you know, associated with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, but rather the infiltration of TPUSA by Zionist entities, especially in their TPUSA faith division, which corresponds with and goes along with what's happening with the 1,000 church leaders who are now in Israel being indoctrinated into serving them. So it really is a big story about this. And it's frustrating. These two, like, I don't know, personalities are at odds. When really, I do think it would be a lot of points of agreement if they sat down and talked. But obviously, Nick is, I mean, generational run, I guess, is the label for it. But it's like unbelievable. And maybe it's just the, well, it's not just the people I hang out with. I mean, I hang out with right-wing people generally. So, you know, Nick Fuentes is going to be a topic of conversation. But like, it's everybody. Everybody's talking about Nick Fuentes. And yesterday, it was like a parody. Again, maybe it's because of my feed and who I follow. But I swear, at around like 8 o'clock last night, every single post on my timeline was a clip from Piers Morgan and Tucker and Nick Fuentes' interview or Nick Fuentes' follow-up, you know, show afterwards. Every single post was about this. It was like, it's like too much. It's a phenomenon. It's insane how successful he's being at breaking through to the mainstream. And it's like they cannot figure out how to deal with this guy. They really can't. And it's almost like you're watching people who don't speak the same language try to communicate. Like, it just goes right past people what he's actually saying. And they're stuck in this weird mindset. And, you know, Piers Morgan, for all of his sliminess, for all of his snake-like attributes, he's really good at what he does. He's like one of the best at appearing neutral or at, you know, playing this sort of schoolmarm, you know, English professor type that can speak down on somebody and get them to, you know, admit that what they are doing is wrong. Like, he's really, really, really good at that. It's just, it doesn't work with somebody like Nick. It just doesn't work. He just doesn't fall for it. And he went into it with a plan that worked out. And it's like, what are they even going to do next? Like, they're going to have to try to kill him. They're deploying everything and nothing works. And it's like, they just keep thinking that, okay, we'll do it there. All right, have him go on this show and we'll, and it's funny because it's always the same tactic and it never works. I want to do a skit about this or something. It's funny. I just remembered this last night. I was laying in bed thinking I should do a skit of, like, you know, whatever, the World Jewish Congress or whatever it is, being like, I know what'll stop Nick. we'll bring him on a really big podcast, a mainstream one. He won't be able to resist. It'll be so big, he'll have to say yes. And then I know we'll show clips from his show, and then we'll frown at him. That'll do it. It's like, okay, well, you've already done that 25 times, so what else you got? It's not working, obviously. Yeah, they tried it with Ben Shapiro. They tried it with Tucker Carlson. They tried it with Candace Owens. They tried it with Piers Morgan. It's like, okay, you're going to have to come up with a different strategy here. It's obviously not working, and it's not working for an obvious reason. Because what Nick is saying is true and funny and reflects the mindset of the vast majority of young people. And so when you just condemn him without confronting anything that he says, it makes you look like an idiot. And it makes everybody agree with Nick. And like, literally, I mean, on Piers Morgan's Twitter, I could not find a single comment. Usually when they do a hit piece on Nick Fuentes, you'll get comments. You'll get people in the comments saying, yo, good, you've exposed him, you know. Now everybody realizes he's a gay fed. You've done it. The meme, we've tried to stick on him for 5 years now. Now you've done it. Piers Morgan, I didn't see a single comment saying, well done, saying you showed him. Not a single one. I swear, I sat there and under one particular one, and it was, again, another one I retweeted, and it's saying, you know, there's no positive comments on this. There are no positive comments. I scrolled and I scrolled and I scrolled and I scrolled. Because what I wanted to do was, I wanted to find the one. I wanted to be like, here's the one positive comment I could find. I couldn't find one. It doesn't exist. We are in a new informational world. And this is very exciting. And I'm very excited about this. And of course, it's the reason why they're trying to shut everything down. But I want to go to a few clips about this, okay? Having to do with the show and everything. Let's go first to, should we just talk about how weird this is? Should we just talk about how utterly bizarre all of this is? Let's go to clip number 25 here. This is like what this thing descended into. Utterly insane. Let's watch Piers Morgan. Again, he's not even like being beaten by Nick. He doesn't even know what he's doing anymore. Okay, let's watch clip 25 here.
Just to clear up one of the many theories about you, I've no idea what the answer is and you haven't got to answer. But are you actually attracted to women?
I am attracted to women.
You're not gay?
No. But I will say that women are very difficult to be around.
Okay.
So there's that.
And do you think they should have the right to vote?
I do not. No, absolutely not.
They should stay at home?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So basically, you're just a misogynist old dinosaur, aren't you? For a young guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm the boomer. I know I'm the boomer here. But actually, you're a 27-year-old dinosaur, aren't you? Aren't you, Nick Fuentes? All women.
I am.
All women are annoying.
He's trying to, like,
all women grow old. They all get fat. Says the guy. Have you ever had sex?
No, absolutely not.
Wow. Says the guy who's never got laid.
Who never got laid. Okay. What are you talking about, Piers? First of all, Piers keeps saying he's Catholic throughout this whole interview. Isn't it the Catholic belief that it's like a mortal sin to have sex before you're married? Isn't that the whole point? So here's a Catholic telling another Catholic he's bad for not committing a mortal sin. That's cool. Would anybody else be subjected to a question like this? Just imagine for a moment Nick was a 25-year-old woman. Would Piers Morgan ask that same question? You ever been laid? Oh, that explains it. I don't even want to say it. It's like, it's so gross. It's so weird. It's such a weird thing to say. Imagine him talking to a young woman being like, oh, you're still a virgin? Well, that's why you don't know what's going on. You've never gotten dicked. It's like, what is wrong with you, Piers? That is creepy. That is weird. And it shows that you have nothing. You're completely off the rails. It's wild. It's truly wild. He's like trying to bully him. By the way, after this, he also went after Nick's dad. So Nick's like, all right, you want to go after families? Go after families. Piers Morgan's wife just like cucks him continuously. It's hilarious. She's on Instagram just like posting pictures of like bodybuilders washing her car, being like, living the LA life, getting my car washed. And just like, I mean, she literally like goes out of her way to humiliate Piers and like talk about how, you know, much she loves getting extracurricular activity with other men, let's just say. So it's like, dude, you're not even the right person to be saying this. You are literally like humiliated continuously by your slut wife. So what are you talking about sex for? Let's go to clip number 24 here. This was posted by La Patriot Native, LA Patriot Native. Clip 24, she says, it's amazing to me how censored Nick has been. And of course, it's obvious why he's so popular. Let's watch clip number 24 now.
It's your lack of humanity and compassion for people about things like the Holocaust, about slavery. It's that that people find so contemptible. And I don't understand why you need to do that. Again, I just ask you, is your motivation financial? Is your motivation for fun? What is the motivation to saying these outlandish things, which you don't need to say, and which I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect a lot of it is performative. So what is the motivation?
I'm an iconoclast. The Holocaust is not my religion, and it is treated like a religion. It is treated like a religion with dogma, with blasphemy laws, and that secular religion says, you know, it's called the Open Society by Karl Popper. It's by these architects of the liberal order after World War II. They got together and they said, how can we make sure that Hitler never happens? How can we make sure that totalitarianism never happens again? And they came up with the consensus, which is that we need to take down nations, religions, fathers, the authoritarian personality. We need to be empathetic and altruistic. We need to be diverse and pluralistic. And that experiment isn't. And I'll tell you the truth right now, and you can laugh at this, you can scoff at this. Our people are being genocided in our country. 50% of the live births in the United Kingdom and in the United States are non-white. In 100 years, my ancestors, your kids who are so empathetic and compassionate, they're going to be a minority. They're going to be a minority in maybe a Muslim country, an Indian country, an Hispanic country. And these Jewish people that are 100 years old talking about my grandparents and the Holocaust, they don't care about that. Actually, they like to see it. At the SPLC, they're literally counting down the days until whites are a minority in America. So forgive me if I don't believe them when they talk about compassion. There's a genocide going on right now. It's not against
the
Jews.
How many Christians are there?
In Gaza, it's against
whites. How many Christians are there in the world? Let me
1 point some billion. Yeah, 2 billion.
How many Jews are there?
15 million.
Okay. So with a straight face, you're going to tell me the world is being overrun by the Jewry, by 15 million people, when there are over a billion Christians. There is a genocide of Christians like poor old Nick Fuentes going on at the hands of these 15 million Jews. Really?
See, this attitude is why you're losing. When you say
who
poor
am I losing
old
to?
White people,
who
these
am I
poor
losing
old
to?
White people.
Who am I losing to?
You're seeing it. Mass migration. You're losing to me. We are losing as a civilization of mass migration. Fine. And here's the difference. In Israel, they have my politics. In Israel, they want to maintain a Jewish majority. If they had it their way, it would only be Jewish people. They're fighting like hell so that Jewish people can have as much territory, a Jewish state. They can be proudly Jewish in their own land. Whereas in America, we are being besieged by 10 million illegal immigrants in 4 years. And then whites and Christians are going to be the minority. And that's true in Canada, Australia, all the countries in Europe.
And he's absolutely right. And I agree with literally everything Nick said. In fact, I've said pretty much everything Nick said there before. I've said this about the Holocaust, too. And it's like almost verbatim what Nick just said there. I just have a different way where it's like you've got two Holocausts. You've got the Little H Holocaust, which is just historical fact, right? It's the mechanized, deliberate murder of non-combatants, civilians, innocent people by the Nazis as part of World War II. That's the Little H Holocaust. It's the mass death that occurred, and it's horrific and tragic. But then there's the capital H Holocaust trademark, right? TM on the end. And that is not a matter of history. It has much more the qualities of a religion. It has dogma that you can't question. It has assertions that you have to accept as fact. And it has like literal dogma, you know, to the extent now where you have to, according to the IHRA, you know, International Holocaust Remembrance Association's definition of anti-Semitism, which is, you know, adopted by law by the State Department and other functions of our government, says you don't have to just say that there were 6 million Jews that died and that they were killed. You have to say they were killed on purpose as part of a desire to exterminate all Jews that the Nazis were carrying out. Like you have to assert the motivation, the ultimate goal. Like you can't just say these people died. You have to say as a part of a desire to kill all Jews. Like it's a religion. It's Holocaustianity. It's not historical. You can question historical facts. You can debate historical facts. You can't do that with the Holocaust. So it's not the capital H Holocaust trademark has all of the qualities of a religion that you don't have to adhere to. But that is the state religion of basically all of Western Europe and America as well. So I you know, can't say he's wrong. And then there's a particular irony. Again, just like you ask, like, well, okay, if Nick Fuentes was a woman, would you ask him if he's had sex? And it descended into such weird stuff with Piers Morgan asking him if he's ever seen videos of tampons. Like, the whole thing was just creepy and just bizarre. And it's just clearly they just have nothing, and they're literally just trying to, like, bully him, and it's just not going to work. And I want to get into what Fuentes said about Hitler later. But they bring on this guy, Finkelstein, and he's like, you know, it was weird, it was random, it was, you know, he's like, how do you think Jews would feel? I know how they feel, because here's a video message from one of them. This is guy Finkelstein, who is plugging his book that he wrote about his parents being attacked by Stalin and Hitler. And even then, if you go back and look into the actual history, it's not how he presented it. So that's kind of weird. Plus, you know, Nick says basically the Holocaust has become, like, very important politically, and that, you know, a lot of what happens now is done on the basis of the Holocaust, and people, they've become like an industry now. Piers Morgan's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's a video from Finkelstein. And this Finkelstein guy, like, his whole family and his whole career is all entirely based on the Holocaust. Like, his mom founded a Holocaust library, and Finkelstein himself is, like, diehard supporter of Israel and writes continuously in support of the eradication of the Palestinians. So it's like, so this guy's going to tell us a story about his grandparents almost dying in a genocide, and we have to shut up because of that. But at the same time, he is actively supporting a genocide going on at this moment. Like, when Piers Morgan brings on Jewish people, does he play a video of a Palestinian person talking about how the Jews killed their parents or killed their children? No, why not? Why doesn't he do that? Why'd he do it for Nick Fuentes? And if you're going to bring on a Jewish person or an Israeli, I think it's only fair that you do to them what you did to Nick Fuentes, bring on a Palestinian mother who's lost her children to Israel, and then play the video of her demanding an apology, and then go back and go, well, so what do you think about that? You want to change your position now that you've seen that, or are you a monster? It's just the cheapest manipulative tricks you can possibly imagine. And I don't know what else are they going to do? What other tack could they possibly take? Yeah, this is the guy, Finkelstein. And it's like, okay, so you've taken a moment to stop advocating for the genocide of Palestinians to remind everybody about the genocide of the Jews. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Does anybody think this works? I don't think it worked. I'll show you more on the other side. You know, Nick elaborated on this in his show later in the day. And you can figure out how to handle, like, they just need to figure out how to respond to this, because what Nick is saying is true, and they can't just keep trying to browbeat him into silence. It's just pissing everybody off. We'll be right back.
It's hard to believe Christmas 2025 is almost here. And our 12 days of Christmas sale is going to end this Sunday at midnight. Site-wide on all the amazing supplements, the huge, giant, biggest selection of Patriot apparel, and more, is 40% off. And that is a huge deal with apparel, because on average, it's marked up 55-60%. So you're getting this stuff almost at cost. A gigantic selection. It's an adventure to wear these shirts out in public. You've got the 1776 Classic Americana line, all the Trump gear, the InfoWars gear, a lot of, you know, comedy fun stuff, a lot of really, really cool hoodies, hats, shirts, you name it. It is an adventure. If you haven't experienced it yet, wear this stuff out in public. Now, you'll get a lot of love, but leftist areas, you need to watch your back. They'll probably try to kill you. But the point is, it is an adventure to wear your Patriot uniform, your colors out in public. But the big thing that you want to take advantage of is 40% off on all the supplements. And a lot of these have been sold out, like Ultramethylene Red. Super popular, proprietary, original formula, incredible. Goes great with Methylene Blue. limited supply back in stock. Bovine colostrum, limited supply back in stock. We just got stocked up on a whole bunch of other great items that have sold out as well. So take advantage of these deals right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. We're close to shutting down InfoWars. We're still fighting on, but we have the Alex Jones Network backup systems and more. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. Our sponsor does, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, and that will ensure that myself, the other host, and the crew stay on the air going into 2026 and beyond, when our voice and our analysis and our guest and our research is absolutely more critical than ever. Not just the general public, but people in government, not just here in America, but around the world. And major corporations are really listening to us. We're having a major effect. So thank you for being the reason we've been on the air. You are the InfoWar. And the InfoWar continues on as we the people fight. But we can't do it without your support. So do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com and get great products that enrich your life and your health, and keep the tip of the spear on the air. It's a 360 win. It's a no-brainer. Thanks for your past support. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for your support.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
How is Alex doing?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, hey, Alex looks good, man.
Even Joey
lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I have a
welcome back, folks. You got some breaking news here. Injuries reported in shooting at Kentucky State University, officials say. The police said a suspect has been arrested after the shooting at the school in Frankfort, Kentucky. A suspect has been arrested after a shooting in a Kentucky State University, a historically black college in Frankfort, the authorities said on Tuesday. Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky said that officials were aware of some injuries and would provide more information when it was available. Law enforcement are on the scene and a suspect has been arrested, he wrote on social media. Let's pray for those affected. Of course, when we see this, you know, first it's like, active shooter in Kentucky University. And it's like, oh God, oh no, like, I hope this isn't something terrible. And you read it's a historically black college and it's like, oh Lord, uh-oh, is this it? Is this what Alex has been warning about? How many times have you heard Alex Jones say that a historically black college would be the next site of a major false flag as they gin up the narrative that Trump is killing all the minorities in order to inspire this civil war pushback that they've been planning through the Podesta plan? However, typically if you have a lot of people injured but nobody killed during a mass shooting incident, it's either gang-related or some sort of, you know, personal scuffle that gets out of hand. So we'll wait to see. But I know I'm not the only one that has that tripwire in the mind where it's like we're just waiting for one of these days some sort of major false flag event at a place like a historically black college take place, but luckily it appears as though no deaths have been reported so far, so that's very good to hear. We'll bring you any updates on that as it comes in. I do want to remind you, or tell you, I suppose for the first time, about the incredible sale we have going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the 12 Days of Christmas massive super sale, 40% off site-wide now, 40% off every product on the store. Ends Sunday, December 14th. No discount code needed. All you have to do is support the operation by getting great products available at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Our top-selling products are, of course, Ultramethylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum Plus, Ultramethylene Red, Ultramethylene Blue Caps, as well as the Ultimate CMOS Capsules. I love the CMOS Capsules and the Shilajit Caps, or the gummies, actually. I take the gummy form of both, but capsules are just as powerful. Maybe not quite as tasty, but I'll leave that up to you to decide. And, of course, we have the new creatine gummies, just tons of incredible stuff that will help you with your health, especially when combined with change in diet and exercise. This stuff can really put you over the top or give you that kickstart to get going in the first place. You know, I've been saying you're running out of time to get your products in before Christmas. If you want to buy the T-shirts and hats and, you know, all the great, or the knives, or just any of the great stuff that we have for InfoWarriors, gifts available at thealexjonesstore.com. Definitely going to want to make those orders if you want to get it before Christmas. But also don't forget that New Year's Eve is coming up. Don't forget that you're going to want to get a head start on your New Year's resolutions. And a great way to do that is start off by having a resolution to eat better. Have a resolution to take the right vitamins to give you the boost, the energy boost that you need to fulfill all of your other designs come New Year. So get ready now for your New Year's resolutions by getting the supplements you need to carry you through to success. Now, with that, I want to go back to a few more videos from Nick Fuentes and Piers Morgan that I think are valuable. And we've censored clip 22, right? This is from Nick Fuentes' show later that day, where he was going over his triumphant victory over Piers Morgan, where he elaborated a little bit on the appeal of the Hitler edits. He was questioned about why he thought Hitler was cool, and he just said, he's just cool. I don't know what to tell you. And he said, well, what about that's cool? He said, I don't know, the edits. And what he means is like the compilations, these just like really cool kind of stylish edits with really awesome pop music. And they just have images of Nazi stuff. And they're extremely popular and they go viral all the time. And I think he makes an important point about this, not about the Nazis, but about just sort of what it represents. And I'll kind of moderate this on the other side, because I understand where he's coming from. And I think most people listening to my voice right now would understand exactly where he's coming from. It's not about loving Nazis at all, but it's about something that I think all humans yearn for, and that white people in particular have been denied, and that's collective glory, honestly, is what it is. But I'll let Nick say it and then sort of elaborate on this on the other side and connect it to how I know a lot of Americans feel right now. So here's Nick explaining why he doesn't get scared of the word Hitler. Let's watch.
It represents is, what if we went hard as that's what Hitler represents. What if white people went hard as and we didn't have to pander? We didn't have to pander. We didn't have to make excuses. We didn't have to apologize. We didn't have to do all these rituals, humiliation rituals that we have to do. It wasn't refugees welcome. It wasn't we're so sorry. It wasn't the original sin of slavery. It wasn't our ancestors were evil. It wasn't, well, we're trying to be better and we're doing the work and we acknowledge we're on stolen land. It was, what if we're going hard? That's what it represents. And that's why young people are drawn to that. And I don't think that people should make that. I don't think that people like Piers should make that a sticking point. I think that's a big mistake. Because if you make that a shit test, disavow Hitler, you have to say Hitler isn't cool. He said, you need to listen to this old Jewish guy. You have to listen to Finkelstein or whatever. You have to listen to this guy talk about his mom and dad. People are going to say, you know what? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear another guest. I don't want to hear another foreigner, because that's all it is. That's what American history is. It's Columbus killed the natives, then we enslaved the blacks, then Hitler killed the Jews, then we were racist, and we're all pieces of shit, and we should all hate ourselves, and that's why we need to bring on the immigrants, because we deserve it, because we shouldn't exist, and we're all terrible. And if you're telling us that we have to repudiate, oh, you have to say Hitler's not cool, you can never make jokes and you can never say anything, and you need to feel shame and you need to make me feel your shame, you need to mean it when you're ashamed, people are going to say, off. I don't want to hear Ben Shapiro talk about the Holocaust. Go home.
Yeah, pretty hardcore. Pretty hardcore. But, you know, there is such a thing as like overcorrection. And I think what Nick was talking about earlier with Piers is exactly right. After World War II, the people that came out on top, and everything is after World War II, right? World War II was the original Great Reset. It was Bretton Woods. It was the establishment of these economic systems that provided for control. It was the reformation of the education system. It was the opening of the borders for immigrants. I mean, we didn't have an asylum program before the Second World War. Like, all of this stuff came about as a consequence of the Second World War. And there has been a severe overcorrection. And again, we've talked about this all the time. I always point out the Kintler experiment, right? How the German government gave orphans or children they stole from their parents to pedophiles to abuse them on purpose. And that was a whole program run in Germany. And the whole reason it was run was because they associated sexual purity and strong father figures with Nazism. And so in order to sort of get to the root cause of Nazism, they wanted to destroy like the basic normal function of families. Like, there's an overcorrection. And, you know, America hadn't succumbed to this by like the 1960s. And I just always think about this time. A couple years ago, I was on vacation with my wife's family, and we're all sitting around talking, and the question comes up, like, if you could live in any time in history, when would it be? I remember my father-in-law answered he wished he could be born like 20 or 30 years earlier, whenever it was, to be old enough to participate in the Apollo space program. And he's, and you know, it's not even that he has a particular love of space or anything. He was just like, there's something about all of this effort, all of these different people working together on one goal and doing something spectacular. And that's what the Apollo program was, right? It was like all of country effort, so much money went into it, so much talent, so much genius, all combined in this one little node on the top of this skyscraper-sized rocket, accomplishing something that our ancestors thought would have thought was magic, right? And there's something so appealing about that, so human about that, and that's what I mean, like collective glory. That was a time that America experienced and reveled in our collective glory. And that was sort of the peak, right? And since 1969, we haven't experienced a lot of collective glory, have we? We've experienced a lot of collective heartache and a lot of collective guilt and a lot of collective misery, a lot of collective trickery, where we think something's glorious until we realize the whole thing's a fraud. Realize there's nothing glorious about stomping into Iraq and murdering them all. Like, yeah, that's not glory. Nothing we do is glorious anymore. Nothing we do is uplifting. Nothing we do, it has that spark that inspires people to go, man, I wish I could have been involved in that. I wish I could have been a part of that mission. Not even like, I wish I was an astronaut and could be on television. No, I just want to be a part of it. I just want to be a node in the machine that does something great. And that's what we're missing. And that's what we have been missing. And that is what the Nazi edits appeal to. You don't see Nazi edits with, like, I've seen a lot of Nazi edits, you know, the whatever, Hitler edits or whatever. I've never seen one that has any images of any camps, right? Nobody's celebrating the camps. Nobody's celebrating the murder. It's the architecture. It's the parades. It's the flags. And it's not about them being Nazis. It's about them being collectively glorious, right? Even if that glory is tainted and, you know, people have been raised on Hollywood and just the continual, anti-Nazi propaganda, obviously you can't separate these two things. But for young people that are growing up and just seeing it for the first time out of context, it's like, this is kind of cool. Looks kind of cool, actually. The style looked cool. The fashion looked cool. You can't deny that. But really, it appeals to something deeper, which is we want meaning. We want to belong, right? We want belonging. We want to know that we're like participating in something collectively. That's good. And like, that's what we've lost here. And it doesn't have to be Nazis. In America, it was, you know, you're participating in this just by having a job, having a wife, having children, keeping your house upkeep, like you living in a suburb and just working a 9-to-5 and going home and sitting on your porch with a glass of iced tea. Like, you are still contributing to something greater. You're still seeing your country grow. You're still a important part of this collective glory that we're all establishing. It doesn't have to be Nazis. It can be small scale, pride in your home, pride in your neighborhood, pride in your city, or just knowing like, well, you know, I'm doing my small part and all I do is work and pay taxes, but those taxes are going towards this mission to, you know, defeat tyranny, whatever glory that we set ourselves on. But now it's like, we're supposed to feel guilt over our glory. We're supposed to feel bad that our ancestors were so victorious. We're supposed to feel sorry for the people that tried to stop us and failed. Like, no, we're not going to. And how are you going to, for a single second, blame especially young people for taking the diametrically opposed position of the normalized, mainstream, vicious hatred, blood libels, and vindictiveness against white people? Say what you want about Nick Fuentes, and yes, he goes pretty extreme on some of these things, according to most people. But he is still, at least in the wider public sphere and in the mainstream, is treated as an outlier. And it's like, he says this crazy stuff, but it's him that's saying it, and you know, not a lot of other people, certainly nobody else with his amount of, you know, attention. But then you've got the other side of the card, right? You've got the other side of the coin, which is people like Joy Reid, who is a, you know, mainstream, respected by the establishment ogre. And here's what she has to say, clip number 20. You can show me, you can do like all of, you know, Nick's assassins try to do. You can show me the worst clips ever of Nick Fuentes saying the most outrageous things. Oh, half of all black people need to be in prison. Oh my God, what a terrible thing to say. This is what Joy Reid says. Nothing Nick Fuentes has ever said is more offensive to me than this. This is real. She actually believes this, and it's more than just lying about white people in order to spread hatred of us. It's about preparing the ground for literal genocide, like outright ethnic cleansing. Well, let's go to Joy Reid, clip 20 here.
So, you know, this nation was founded by killers who slaughtered 90% of the indigenous people, leeches who glommed off of the indigenous to taught them how to survive in the wilderness and then murdered them as their thanks and then took all their land. And you want to talk about entitlement. They felt entitled to own other people and they didn't even want to pay taxes on it. So they decided to have a whole war with Britain. So,
okay. So aside from her being historically illiterate, literally nothing she's saying making any sense at all. It's not about historical factuality, right? What did she even say there? They wanted to own humans and so they went to war with Britain. Like, what are you talking about, lady? That had nothing to do with anything. But clearly, what she's saying there is so just patently offensive. And not just because it's a lie, not just because she's trying to drum up hatred by lying about the settlement of America by Europeans, especially the English. But if white people, if this group of people have this collective guilt, came along and mercilessly slaughtered 90% of this population, then why shouldn't they be killed? I mean, they kind of deserve it, right? And if they're these mass murderers, these unrepentant slaughterers of the innocent, then, you know, when white people get slaughtered, why would you feel bad? They sort of deserve it, right? That's what she's trying to say. She's trying to lay the groundwork. Like, literally, this is just the steps of, you know, you want to listen to a Jewish person talking about how the Holocaust didn't start with burning bodies. There's a ladder of escalation. Well, where on the ladder of escalation is so dehumanizing and justifying collective punishment against a group on made up fraudulent charges? Like, it's pretty close to the top. That's actually like one of the last steps before the genocide actually starts, is laying the groundwork, preparing the field for the seeds to be sown of actual genocidal violence against a group of people. It's outrageous. Now, when I hear somebody like Joy Reid say this type of stuff, obviously what she's saying is utter hogwash. Like, it's just, anybody knows how ridiculous this is. And then the other part of me just wants to like go back to like, should we see what Africa was like in the 1700s? Oh, if our ancestors were so bad, do you want to hear about your ancestors? Do you like cannibalism? How do you feel about witchcraft? How do you feel about just senseless slaughter on a mass scale with no purpose or reason whatsoever? How do you feel about an entire economy based on slaves to the point where there was no currency, there was just slaves? How do you feel about a continent, Africa, where everybody except the kings were slaves? Like, do we really want to get into a conversation about this? It's not helpful. It's not healthy. It's not good for a nation. To have half of their population in seething, jealous resentment of the other half, it's just not good. Joy Reid, you need to get over it. I'm sorry you look like that. It's not our fault, okay? You got to take your anger out elsewhere. Nightmares of female genital. Oh, right. No, I'm sorry. I don't have to go back to the 1700s. Sorry. I forgot. This was published today. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I don't have to go back to the 1700s. I can point out what's happening right now. An article's published today. that article is published tomorrow. How'd you even find that article? That article is published December 10th, 2025. That's impossible. More than 230 million. Yeah, what? 230 million girls and women alive today have undergone FGM, female genital mutilation, in 30 countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, where FGM is practiced. Yeah, it's, well, you know, it's probably a good thing, I guess, because it's brown people doing it. Yeah, December 10th, 2025. That's interesting. That's crazy. So not only do I not have to go into the past to find barbaric activity in Africa, I can move into the future and it's still there. Isn't that crazy? Let's go to clip 14 here. It's not just Joy Reid. This is just a common mindset in America. We don't have to accept this. We don't have to stand for this. This is simply blood libel, okay, about stuff that happened 500 years ago, and has none of the nuance of reality. All they can show is there used to be native people here, now there are white people here. Therefore, white people killed all of the natives. Oh, really? Stop. Just stop. Smallpox killed most. By the way, while we're at it, you know the story about the smallpox blankets never happened, right? It's one of the most common lies. I believe it was spread by Howard Zinn. I don't know if he came up with it. But it never happened. The blankets with smallpox, they say like, oh, this, you know, English people gave Native Americans smallpox blankets. They didn't even have a theory of germs at that point. They wouldn't have even understood. That doesn't even make sense. You might as well say the Americans nuked the Indians with an atomic bomb. Like, no, it didn't make any sense. It literally never happened. They just say it did. Okay. Again, just, you know, it's just the easiest way to do it. But just imagine there's evidence that British colonists in the 18th century America gave Native Americans smallpox and plex at least once, but did it work? Oh, at least once they did? Oh, one time that happened? Let's scroll down. Let's see what they actually say. Largely a myth. The smallpox blanket story is largely a myth, with only one documented case of it being attempted, but with little evidence of its effectiveness. Again, how would they didn't even know smallpox traveled through blankets. How would you even know that? While transmission of smallpox through blankets is not a viable method of biological warfare because the virus doesn't survive long on dry fabric outside the body, the myth has persisted due to the devastation caused by disease epidemics and the very real brutality of colonialism. Okay, one documented case. In 1763, during the siege of Fort Pitt, a British officer named Captain Simeon gave smallpox and plexed blankets to besieging Lenape warriors, as documented by HistoryNet. Okay, did it work? Like, what are you even talking about? He just had smallpox-infected blankets. Like, I doubt that even one case happened. But even then, this is treated as like it just happened, right? It was just like, this is what happened to the natives. Oh, the natives were here, and then the English people showed up, pretended to give them blankets, right? Because that's the other aspect of it, because it's so mean. It's like, first you're acting like you're giving these people a present, and really it's smallpox infected. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. They say one case happened 10 years before America, 13 years before America declared independence, that some British general just said, no. No, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. What are you talking about? So what, they had a smallpox infestation. They were all had smallpox in the field, and they gave blankets to the besieging soldiers who, despite sieging the fort, were like, oh, blankets, cool, thanks. Like, what? No, that never happened. It never happened. So just, again, imagine, like, this is the crazy thing. Imagine if we just lived in a world where just like, boy, the Trail of Tears. What? The Trail of Tears? Yeah, I genuinely do not believe that. The intent is documented in Captain Ecuyer's diary, which states he hopes the blanket would have the desired effect. Okay. And that's why white people don't deserve to live in America now. Was it done intentionally? They didn't know how it spread, you idiots. Okay. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's just not true. So just be like, if just randomly prominent, you know, well-respected mainstream Americans were just like justify their positions by being like, well, you know, Jews poisoned the wells. So that's just who they are, who they've always been. It's just like, no, it never happened. What are you talking about? Let me go quickly to clip number 14 here. This is Metro Nashville City Councilwoman Delicia Porterfield saying what she thinks about America. Let's watch.
Good evening, everyone. Today is December the 4th. I want to start by acknowledging that this meeting is being held on the unceded, stolen land of the Cherokee, Shawnee, and Yuchi people, and to remind you that no one is illegal on stolen land built by stolen labor.
Okay, thanks, lady. Yeah, great point. So I guess we should reject immigrants, is what you're saying?
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. You have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025, to get 40% off store-wide at TheAlexShowStore.com. And that means all of the incredible supplements that will enrich and empower your life. They really work. We have 5-star reviews, and they fund our operation, take on the globalists. So please do your Christmas shopping at TheAlexShowStore.com. It is a 360 win for everybody. Now, Ultramethylene Blue Liquid, 40% off. Bovine colostrum, the very best, running out, still 40% off. Ultramethylene blue caps, 40% off. Back in stock. Ultramethylene red, that's right, it's back in stock, but it has a very low supply. Ultimate CMOS gummies and capsules, all back in stock, 40% off at TheAlexShowStore.com. Again, please do your Christmas shopping at TheAlexShowStore.com. Get great products that enrich your life and funds the tip of the spear in the fight against the globalists.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.